Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
Technology took away so many boundaries. You can work from anywhere. You can work from your bedroom. You can work from vacation. It's like, no, that's actually not so good. Let's bring those boundaries
back.
Let's
actually be on vacation.
Let's have weekends again.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's have bedroom be for sex and sleeping or reading. And let's bring some boundaries back and we're going to feel more joy. This whole chapter I wrote in the book about boundaries is that boundaries actually can make you feel free, because if you know when you're working, you know when you're off, and there's no boundaries anymore. And people just text whenever, they email whenever they're, and you know, we're affecting so many other people with the way we use technology too. So I talk about the research in the book that when you text someone, when you get interrupted, it takes you around 20 minutes to get back into what you were doing. So we text with abandon now, and we should just be mindful. Does what I'm about to communicate to this person, is it so urgent that I'm taking them out of what they're doing?
Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm joined by author Tiffany Schlain to talk about the importance of taking a day to unplug, not just from electronics, but from work, relationships, and whatever other stresses life throws at you. Topics include, well, it may seem impossible, taking a break from technology for one day isn't as hard as it seems. The benefits of truly unplugging and reconnecting with your partner and family. With less time for tech, there's more time for sex. And tips on having your own tech Shabbat, whether you're single, married, or have kids. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. It feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com, and we are Sex with Emily on all social media. All right, intentions with Emily. For each show, join me in setting an intention. I'm going to do it. I encourage you to do the same. So what I mean is, like, right now, when you're listening, think about what you want to get out of the episode. It could be, wait, there's no way I can cut off technology for a full day. I'm curious to see what this is actually like. Well, my intention is to show you the importance of taking a break from technology and know that it's not as scary or as impossible as it seems, and it actually can truly help you reconnect to yourself and your loved ones. I've been doing it, and I'm telling you, it works. All right, Tiffany Schlain is an Emmy-nominated filmmaker, founder of the Webby Awards. I was actually at her first Webby Awards in the late 90s. She's been a speaker at universities, businesses, as well as TED Women. And her original series, The Future Starts Here, has received over 40 million views. Now she has her book, 24-6, The Power of Unplugging One Day a Week. And I met Tiffany over 20 years ago. Our parents actually met on a trip, and they thought that we would like each other, and they were right. And I'm truly in love with all the work she's done. It's a subject we absolutely need to get on top of, learn more about, and how to deal with technology, social media for today's highly connected world. Okay, guys, enjoy the show. And again, I apologize for the audio, as this was a Skype interview. I'm so inspired by you, Tiffany. Your book, 24-6, The Power of Unplugging One Day a Week. When you first hear about it, you know, I think that a lot of us are like, oh God, well, that sounds like a great idea, but I could never do that. We couldn't. We're all like really addicted to technology. So if you could tell me your story about just starting, how you knew this would work.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good to mention, well, first of all, you and I go way back.
Yes.
We've known each other a really long time. I think we probably first met when I was running the Webby Awards, which was a really long time ago. But before that. But
we have a history. I mean, Tiffany, you're such an impressive person and such a pioneer. We did meet because our parents like matchmaked us. Like they met on a trip somewhere and they're like, oh, I have a daughter in San Francisco. She should meet your daughter and your son because they fixed me up with your brother. Like he's a Jewish doctor. You'd like him. But then we hit it off. We were like in our early 20s. And then you just continued to break through all these barriers. And I've been so impressed in watching your career in San Francisco. And the first thing, it was the Webby Awards, which was like when the web was first getting going. I was like, oh my God, you were just amazing that you pulled that together.
I love technology. I've loved it since the early days. I just don't love the way it has changed the way people are existing. Around over 10 years ago, I just felt like I was distracted all the time. Like I was never anywhere. I was in a constant state of nowhere. And I had this very dramatic period of a couple of days where I lost my father and my husband's and my daughter was born. And it was really, I felt like life was grabbing me by the shoulders and being like, focus on what matters. Okay. And I did not like the way I was living. I just didn't feel good. And I'm Jewish, I should say, but I'm not religious. And, you know, my husband and I had done Shabbat dinners occasionally, which are beautiful. Those of you that don't know, it's like a weekly meal with family and friends. You light candles. It's really wonderful. Most Jews I know don't do it. If they do it, they do a dinner. But the real, if you are a religious Jew or an observant Jew, you take a full day off of rest. But of course, I didn't really have anyone in my life that did that.
Right.
But I was part of this group called Reboot that was doing a national day of unplugging. But after I had lost my father and my husband and I did it, and we turned off for one day a week. And it felt so good. And they were just doing it one ceremonial day. But I remember that day, I felt like I got my soul and my presence back. Mm-hmm. And all the screens were off. I felt so good. And Ken and I were just like, never stopped doing it. I mean, it's been over 10 years.
And amazing.
Every week on Friday night, we have people over for dinner. So it's a very social thing Friday night.
Yeah, I'm going to come next
very
time.
Fun.
I'm just
but
telling
no
you,
has,
I want to come. It sounds like a really good time. And I'm sure being in house.
It's a, really, it's a dinner party. It's
I pre-invited my, in reading your book, I'm like, I could totally see that. I'm there. I'm making the challah. I'm in. I'm just telling you. I
but
want an invite.
You don't realize how much people are interrupting any experience, especially dinner parties, pulling out a phone, walking away to take a text. And like, there's no phones. People come over on Friday night to our house. They know. We call it our text robot.
Yeah.
There's no phone. So it's like the best, most social, fun night, great conversation, laughter, cooking, fun. And then Saturday is this kind of delicious, more quiet day. of just like reading like we don't read anymore, mapping, journaling, yeah, painting, music, going out in nature. Just all these things that we don't seem to really do anymore because we're always interrupted by.
Exactly. And I want to get into the texture bot thing because I really, by reading your book at the end of it, I'm like, all of, there was so much in it that made so much sense to me. What was so amazing though is that you, 10 years ago, you did this, or 11 years ago. I mean, now it's at this all time high. Now it's way worse than it was. You just again had the foresight with technology to know that this isn't going to be good. We need to put some limits on this. Can we just talk for a minute? What are the phones doing to our brains? Like literally rewiring them. And we're checking it 100 times a day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we're basically in, I think, a Frankenstein moment where the technology, none of us were designed to be on and available 24/7 with no downtime. And we're never not staring at that phone. And I think, you know, yes, I started doing this 10 years ago. And the longer we were doing this, the crazier everyone's become. And then finally, I was like, I have to write this book. Here's this free, simple practice that's actually thousands of years old and can like save everyone pretty much the way I feel, because it feels like people have no perspective. They're never not on the network. It's destroying our democracy. We're being manipulated to share and click on things because that's how people sell us things. And they're winning. There's thousands of engineers and their job is to keep you glued to the screen and have you click on the most things, and they drip out notifications. So you're like an addict for being validated and notified and stressful news and email, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And we're at a moment where I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. I don't know anyone that doesn't feel addicted. I don't know anyone that doesn't feel like they're struggling with their partner, with their kids, or just with themselves about they're on their screen too much.
Yeah.
And I believe in us humans that we can rise up and say, okay, this is good, but not all the time. So I think the big question of our time and why I wrote this book, 24/6, is what I feel like is to give people a guide and really bigger thoughts about technology of when is it good to have it on and when should you turn it off and when should you zip it up and put it in your bag during the week and when should you actually turn it completely off, what I think, one day a week. And the more I researched, again, I'm not a religious person, but I have great respect for ideas baked into religious dogma, and Shabbat, this idea of a day of rest, is so brilliant. And the more that I thought about it and read about it, I feel like everyone needs a take Shabbat.
We do.
And just like yoga, just like yoga and meditation, those are practices. I do both of those. Mm-hmm. I'm not Buddhist or Hindu, but I have great respect for those space. And those practices have brought great balance and joy back into my life.
Yeah. No, same.
And I mean, you're talking about the body.
Exactly. And this is a practice. Yeah. We could all do it, but we get to make it up. You know, it could be a few hours a day at first you could start. I mean, I'm all for just like trying it and going for it, but you can find your day, you can find your time. But I've even found, and I find that I've had that too with the scrolling, you literally can feel drunk sometimes. You can feel like you, when you're on your phone for an hour and then your eyes are bugging out and you're like, what did I just do? I did nothing. I feel bad. It's self-loathing. Yeah. And so even for me, just sleeping with it outside the bedroom has been like huge, you know, and like just getting an alarm clock. Huge. I feel like. Yeah.
There's so many things you can do throughout the week that make things better, like wearing a watch. So when you look for the time, just look at your wrist instead of going down the rabbit hole on your phone or alarm clock in your bedroom. I get like pleasure out of opening up a book and writing things down so I'm not distracted by a million other things.
Yeah.
I think I get it.
I'm bringing that back too because it never worked for me because we also grew up, because we're the same age. Like we grew up in the 90s, like having to carry notebooks everywhere and write it all down. And it's actually better for your brain. Like you talk a lot about the benefits of journaling.
Completely.
Yeah. I want to bring it back.
Well, you were asking about the brain, and anything you do repeatedly is rewiring your brain. Anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, having sex.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Watching movies, watching TV. I mean, the way that I feel when I'm online is I can never get enough. I can't get enough stressful news. I can't get enough email. I can't get enough notifications. I can't get enough FOMO. I'm just like, I'm in a constant state of never being satiated. Mm-hmm. And when I turn the screens off, what I notice immediately is I feel so appreciative and grateful for what I already have. So it immediately reverses my outlook. And then I think just so much about what your show is about being in your body and being in touch with your body. And when you're staring at a device, I mean, first of all, your whole body starts to atrophy. You're just, your neck is crunched down, the most unflattering position ever. And you're looking down. your shoulders are slumped, you're totally forgetting about your body.
Right.
And I think if you take time and say, I'm going to put that away, I'm going to put the phone away, I'm going to turn it off. And you know what? The whole world's going to exist, and I'm going to reconnect with myself or my partner or right. my or the people right in front of me. Because what's happening is that everything is more important than what's right in front of you.
Exactly.
And that's a really sad state to live in.
It's really sad. And I've been saying this too, like, and you talk about this in 24/6, is that everyone's looking down now. We're not making eye contact.
Yeah.
And eye contact is right. intimacy. So when I hear from couples and individuals right. every single day, like this epidemic of loneliness, this epidemic of living with their partners right. and still feeling alone and not feeling connected and not feeling intimate, a lot of it is, you know, it's because of the phones, because of our technology, even if it's like the television.
Absolutely.
And I think if we could somehow get people to say, okay, like I've been talking a lot about phones outside the bedroom, like phones should be for sleeping and sex.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's getting so extreme now that we're not even realizing how bad it is that I like the idea of this, just maybe when you get home from work, you each take an hour and you connect, or it's 15 minutes and you look into each other's eyes and you hug before when you get at the end of the day and at the beginning of the day. And there's just like rituals around connection and intimacy and eye contact and practicing it and then taking that out into the world.
More. What's happened with the phone is it's just blurred every line. So you walk into the room, you're on a call, you're looking at your phone, you don't really make eye contact, you don't make connection. And every boundary, whether you're going to the coffee shop, everyone's kind of faking their way through it, just like faking orgasms, like faking connection.
Exactly.
Because we're just like grunting our way through. And I should tell you, the more I've read about Shabbat, and I go into this in the book because it's so fascinating, is that Shabbat is supposed to be a joy. It's like a double mitzvah to have sex on Shabbat.
There you go.
The Talmudic scholars say have sex on Shabbat, connect,
right.
have joy. So it's not about what's being taken away. It's like what you get back. Like I swear my Friday night to Saturday night is literally my favorite day of the week. It's when all my favorite moments of the week happen on that 24-hour period.
Right. I want to go back to that. And then I want to talk about exits and entering, because this just happened like literally 10 minutes ago. That chapter really struck me because you talk about how we do walk in with a phone. And okay, so to my defense, I only have a 6-minute commute to my office. And that's typically when I make my phone calls. I call my mom, I call my friend. So I always walk in, my team is sitting here and I wave and I'm on the phone. I'm like, hey guys, I'm on the phone. So today, Tiffany, because of your book, I finished my call out on the steps and I didn't not want to walk in on the phone and be like, hey everyone, hey, one second. Because I was like, that is not a way, that is not present. That is not real. I'm not saying hi to everybody and looking in their eyes. And so Jamie, my producer sitting here, I don't know if she noticed that, but I finished the call on the porch. So thank you for that.
I never thought about it before. I'm so glad. Well, I'm sure you enlightened so many people on the thousand things with intimacy. And I'm really hoping with this book 24/6 is that just to kind of wake people up to the way we're living. Like you walk down the streets of LA or New York or anywhere and everyone's head is down as they're walking. And it's like, is this the world we want to live in? And couples are just sitting together on their phones. And it's like, we all know relationships and intimacy take connection. And there are those uncomfortable moments even. And what the phones do is just numb us to all of that. So we never really have to deal. But that means the intimacy is never going to be there either, because we're faking our way through.
Exactly.
Being together.
Like that's such a good point. It's that we're not in the uncomfortable moments. Now we have our phones. But back in the day, I say this all the time, and you probably, because I know you have two young kids, which we'll have to get into as well, are teenagers right now. A 16-year-old.
I have,
Right?
And 11. And a 10-year-old.
10-year-old. And people we're going to get to that too. Like, people are like, Mom, my kids will never do that. Well, yeah, you're the parent. Like, they can do that. But even we remember, like, I met people waiting for my car wash. Like maybe I didn't have a book for me, but we'd wait for 30 minutes. But even the other day, I went to yoga and I left yoga class. It was like a Sunday afternoon. It wasn't like a busy morning. It wasn't Monday morning. And we got out. It was like a 4 o'clock class. And by the time I got out, there was like three of us on these chairs or four chairs, three people to my left. One was actually a cute guy on his phone. They were all on their phones, like automatically after yoga even.
Yeah.
So you know that it's happening everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think when people complain that they're single and they don't meet anybody, I'm like, there are more single people in America and in the world than ever before. But I believe that our phones are hijacking these experiences where we could really have connection, even if it's just a hello when you meet your new best friend.
The in-between moments are when life happens. It's when you get closer to someone, if you work your way through that awkward moment, or you say hello to someone. I mean, people have fallen in love just with eye contact, and think about how many opportunities we're taking away because everyone's staring at our own little devices and staring into our own little truths. Because right now in our country with our democracy, I mean, everyone's listening to their own world. And I think that's another element too, is it's created a lot of, you know, divide instead of, I never thought when I the early days of the web that the offshoot of connection would be disconnection.
Right.
But again, I'm not anti-tech. Like, there's so many ways that tech is wonderful, and it allows people to look up stuff about sex that they never would have the courage
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. They're listening to this podcast. Turn off your phone after the podcast right now. Yeah.
but I think it's the question is, it's just thinking, when is it good to have it on and when should you turn it off? And I think to really understand connecting broadly is meaningless unless you also connect deeply. And this other writer who writes about this subject, he said this thing I found so brilliant. His name is Cal Newport. And he was saying, being on social media, you feel both connected and lonely all at the same time.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, that's it. You're connected and lonely all in one moment.
Exactly.
And you're never going to get to the bottom of the internet. You're always going to be scrolling.
Right.
It's never going to feel satisfying. And
right.
I mean, I think when I was thinking about your show and just like the idea of kind of understanding your own needs, I think what's happening is the phone is such a false. I wish like every time you picked up the phone, there was like a pop-up menu that said, what need are you trying to fulfill?
Exactly. What do you really want right now? Are you hungry? Do you want to call a friend? Should you really do your laundry?
Or list like more positive ways you can spend that flick of the wrist.
I like this idea of an app that pop. I know there's like all these habit tracker lists and stuff, but what if it's like time to, you haven't masturbated yet today, this week. You've only masturbated one. Because I'm always trying to encourage people, but
do something else that's flicking your wrist. That'll give you much more pleasure.
Exactly. Like way more pleasure. And I even find myself like, you know, I think a lot of us do this. Like I just started watching TV, which is weird. Like most people watch it all the time, but I'm watching shows, but then I'm on my phone.
Yeah.
But then I'm like watching TV and my phone. I'm like, why am I doing both? And I just feel bad about like, I I live alone. So no one's looking over my shoulder, but it just feels wrong.
Right.
And I have to put those restraints in. So what I also like is that in 24/6, you talk about like rules and boundaries too, and like that it's okay.
Yeah.
I wrote down a quote, it was by Kierkegaard that you have, which I love, that anxiety is the dizziness of freedom. I think that was from you. It was so interesting because it's like, wow, we have so many opportunities right now. There's so much going on. There's so much buzzing and beeping, and everyone's wanting us, and we're pulled in so many directions that's creating so much of our anxiety. So I feel like until people actually try this, like shutting down their phones, whether they're alone or with a partner or out, even if it's for an hour, it's almost like I always say, you're never going to regret having sex, going to the gym, meditating, or I think turning off your phone, taking time off. It feels so good.
I love that you just added that in because I think we need to think about our relationship to our phone. Like we need to think about it with nutrition and nature and exercise and our sex life and our relationship to our phone. Like it's affecting so much of every single moment of our day.
Yeah.
And if you want to think about your overall well-being, you think about what you eat, how often you're having sex, how much you're drinking, how much you're in nature, all of these things. And we need to think about that in the same visual palette of like, what does it mean to live a good life today?
Right.
And does it mean to live a good life to be every moment of any moment you get, you're going to open your phone instead of maybe taking a moment to just think or just try to listen to your inner voice or just, you know, write in a journal or read something in an undistracted way or stare out the window and daydream, because there's so much research on how the most creative ideas come from when you're daydreaming. And we've created a society where there isn't a second where we're not going to look at the phone to be distracted, entertained, or stimulated at any moment.
Right. We no longer have that. Like we did, we're just walking without the phone, hiking without the phone, nature. And I like that you include all of that in your book about nature. You have a chapter on like connecting to nature. Cause I've also been talking about a lot of that on the show, how important that is to, even if you just put your feet on the ground at night before you go to bed, just to like ground with the earth, like things that we just don't do anymore that are actually really healing, and like journaling and practices of gratitude. And I love that Ken doesn't like gratitude, but he likes appreciation. Cause I think gratitude, your husband, think that's funny because I'm like, yeah, I get it. Gratitude is kind of like a such a like it can be kind
it
of a hokey.
A little cheesy.
Yeah,
I know.
You're like gratitude, namaste. If it's not your jam, like what do I appreciate? Like make it work for you. So I like that there's not so much that's like so restrictive. It's just sort of like here's just some tools because yeah, it is a new. It's a relationship with the phone that we have to learn how to monitor, like an addiction, like anything else. And it is like food and exercise, but with the phone, yeah, that's why I think your book is so inspiring and such an easy read in the sense of like, there's so many nuggets in it that will help people think about like, well, how can I like it? Cause I haven't seen anything like this, much like your Webby Awards. Like, oh, this is actually a tool for monitoring your use of the phone, like a diet book, but for your phone. Cause you're not going to die. Yeah, turn it off. Like it's going to help
and
you.
And also I think like I'm sharing with everyone this practice I've done for over a decade with my husband and our two daughters. One's almost 17, one's almost 11. And I should say that they love it too. And people can't even imagine we have a teenager who loves to turn the phone off, but they're overstimulated too. I mean, she's in her most stressful year of high school. She's in her junior year of high school and she has so much homework every night. And she loves one day when she can't do homework. She can't respond on social media. She just gets a break. And there's so much research that proves if you take a true break, you will be so much more productive, so much better to contribute to the world the other 6 days, but we're never getting a break right now. I'm telling you what we have done and what has really worked and all the things we've negotiated over the last 10 years. And the truth is, the thing is, it's not hard. It's so easy to prepare for it, to let other people know. And we all existed before the smartphone, although or maybe you and I, if we've lived half of our lives online and half of our lives off.
Exactly.
So I really see the difference. And you know, I'm turning 50 in April.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, well, what does it feel like to turn 50? What have you learned? And I'm like, this is the single best thing I've learned is this very ancient practice that I'm kind of updating in a non-religious way. And I'm trying to share it because it can just bring such joy back into people's lives. And we started, now the book has been out for like 4 months. And we started a Facebook group called 24/6 Living. And there's all these people now that are doing texture box or just living more mindfully with tech. It's so much fun. And Jewish, not Jewish, with kids, without kids, single. And
it doesn't matter.
So much better.
Well, what I love is, okay, so we'll put that in the show notes as well. We'll put a link to your Facebook group for people to join because I think it's really helpful to have a group to see how everyone else does it because everyone has kids, different ages, different families, they live alone. But I think that the tools are so practical and then to know that other people are able to do it and how you like print out directions, you know, get a printer, get a landline if you have to. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we come back more with Tiffany Schlain. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Could you tell me what the studies have shown, what people feel when they take a true break from technology?
first of all, people, if you don't have a phone in your bedroom, I'm sure you've gone over this on your show, you're going to sleep so much better because, you know, the blue light from the phones, they found a link with the same kind of plaque that Alzheimer's patients have on their brain. And a lot of people, they wake up in the middle of the night, they check their phone, and then you're not going to go back to sleep as easily. There's so much research just on just having sleep. And then in terms of just letting your brain go into a different mode, it's so important to the parasympathetic nervous system, you know, what calms your body down and what gets the cortisol level high. What gets the cortisol level and like fear and stress level is like reading stressful news, having work emails interfere with your leisure time, all of those things which we're doing all the time. And then the things that calm it down are being in a room with other people, eye contact, eating meals together, a true night's sleep, being out in nature. All of this research confirms that calms you and it makes you more centered and grounded. And the phone is doing the opposite.
Yes,
so
exactly.
We live in the 21st century. A lot of us, you know, we're online a lot. I'm not at all advocating not to be on, but to really be mindful of how much. I mean, look at the percentage of your day that you're staring at a screen.
Yeah.
And think, could I spend 1/7 of my week recharging, regenerating, just regrouping and being in my body
right.
and being in the soul and being, it's just so, it's, there's so many benefits. And in the book, I talk about the kind of short, I mean, when we first started doing it, just time felt so much longer on Saturday. And what's the one day you want to feel long is your day off.
Exactly.
But then the longer I've done it, the more bigger benefits I've seen. I'm a filmmaker, so it's always about being as creative as possible. And I really started to notice that my most creative ideas would happen on Saturday, my day without screens. And I was like, huh. And that's very much backed up by, there's something in neuroscience called the default mode network, where your mind starts making connections of things that are already in your mind.
Yes.
And that's usually where creativity comes from, is unusual connections. But right now we're spending all of our time with so much new input coming into our brain. We never give our brain a chance to kind of process what's already in there. So on my Saturdays, I do a lot of daydreaming and I'm just not putting any more new input in. And I have the most creative ideas then.
That makes so much sense. Yeah, that's exactly what I've had those experiences too lately. I've gone away for these, like, it's so extreme, but I'll go to this like wellness spa for like a week and I really won't look at my phone. And then last weekend I did it again for 4 days. They're all firing, all the synapses. I came up with all the ideas and all the clarity. And it's just like, it is mind blowing because right now you're right. There's always stuff coming in. There's literally no time to just think. And we're in our cars. We're listening to podcasts.
Also,
yeah, we're on the phone. Like my 6-minute commute, I'm on the phone. Like, when am I going to think? You know, I mean, I do meditate in the morning, but that's also organized. Like we just need a day. And it feels so, I'm telling you this, like, I'm so fascinated because in my little experience with it, it is a total reset, a reboot, and
it's
I feel
total
clarity.
Reset.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I feel pretty much every week, that I have the deepest vacation at a retreat center somewhere else every week that I'm just in my own home. Because just by turning off the network and no one can get to me. And I know if you're single, which you brought up, but I'll tell you something. If you say for one day, I'm just going to hang out with myself or a friend, but I'm just going to reground myself in this very present way,
right?
That will do it too.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, also I have a chapter on silence in the book because the more I read how important silence is in the day, because I'm like you, I'm like any few moment, I'm going to put on a podcast or I'm going to optimize every moment. And then I really try during my day, like when I'm driving, I think, because I'm like you, I also call my great friends and my family, and now if there's a certain stretch, I'm like, I'm just gonna drive.
Right.
Because
exactly.
I think I want to make my brain more supple and I'm gonna give it a break. And that's pretty much what you're doing. But if you give your mind a big break, I think of rest as a technology. Like if you think of technology makes you more efficient and productive and all these things, well, a true day of rest, which in my interpretation is no screens, is going to reboot you in a really powerful way.
It really does. Yeah. And then I'm sure, like, again, like if you're in a relationship, I think it helps the relationship with yourself for sure, too. Even if you're meeting, first of all, if you're meeting up with friends, you can make a plan like we used to and just not change it and just say, I will see you there tomorrow. I'm not bringing my phone. Like, remember, it's what we had to do. Like, if we had plans for dinner, I would see you there. We had no out. But it's just totally, you know, I don't know. I just feel like people just
it's so slippery now. I think people, like, change and cancel what way more now because they can.
Right.
And I find when I make a plan on TextureBone, I just show up, and it's just it's kind of this beautiful analog way of existing. And again, one day a week, it reminds me I have a question about something. I have to just ponder the question,
right.
Which is also great. I'm like, I don't know the answer, and the whole day I'm not going to know the answer.
Yeah.
And that's kind of fun because it strengthens your curiosity muscle. You're not going to wonder kill it on Google and know immediately.
Right.
So I think there's just a joy in doing things differently. I mean, I'm sure you talk about this with sex. Like,
yes,
do something different. It's going to revitalize your sex life.
Absolutely. We're all so bored with our sex life.
Week.
Yeah, it's been the same thing all the time. If you and your partner just say, we're going to come from work, we're going to leave our phones at the front, we're going to turn them off, and we're going to spend the next 4 hours, even if you're doing what you know, you're watching a movie, but if something comes up, you're like, who was the director of that film? You got to write it down and look it up tomorrow. Like, it's okay. Because we don't even realize. We don't realize that picking up the phone, oh shit, my boss texted and now I'm late. Oh, I got to get back to so-and-so.
Yeah.
And then you're off. And that's why I don't enjoy social media as much because I really don't because I feel like, oh, if I'm out, I don't do a lot of the stories. If I'm with friends, you know, the stories like an Instagram because I feel that I know myself. I'm going to take the story. Then I'll be like, what font do I choose? What do I have to do? And then 20 minutes go by and I'm out of the moment. And I don't know. Maybe it's I don't enjoy it. I've lost a connection to someone who already has attention problems, challenges, that this just helps me so much having those rules, at least when I'm out, but then trying it with a partner and seeing how you'll feel like it's like you always have a third there or a fourth if you both have phones. It's like there's always something else there. But when you turn off the phone, it's really just the two of you. Like you don't have your iPad, you don't have your computer. It's really
you're not competing.
With
the whole outside thing. I mean, you know, on some level, you have a show, I have a book. Like, it's important. I do enjoy meeting and connecting with, you know, people that have read the book. Or that's the beautiful part.
Right.
But when it starts to encroach, is when it's just taking you away from being present with your own life. Technology took away so many boundaries. You can work from anywhere. You can work from your bedroom. You can work from vacation. It's like, no, that's actually not so good. Let's bring those boundaries
back.
Let's
actually be on vacation.
Let's have weekends again.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's have bedroom be for sex and sleeping or reading. And let's bring some boundaries back and we're going to feel more joy. This whole chapter I wrote in the book about boundaries is that boundaries actually can make you feel free because if you know when you're working, you know when you're off. And there's no boundaries anymore. And people just text whenever, they email whenever. And, you know, we're affecting so many other people with the way we use technology, too. So I talk about the research in the book that when you text someone, when you get interrupted, it takes you around 20 minutes to get back into what you were doing. So we text with abandon now, and we should just be mindful. Does what I'm about to communicate to this person, is it so urgent that I'm taking them out of what they're doing?
Right.
And when you're with a group of people, when you pull out your phone, I say it's like a yawn. Everyone's going to pull out their phone.
Exactly.
So is that a good moment to make everyone disconnect? And when you're out at a meal with a friend that took 20 emails to set up, you put your phone on the table, it's immediately going to make everyone less present. Everyone, even the people around you.
Yeah.
At other tables. So people need to be aware of how much they're affecting other people too. So it's like boundaries in your own life and really being intentional about how you're affecting other people.
It is really being intentional. It's being intentional and it is having boundaries with yourself and just saying like, and others, but saying, I'm not going to pull it out during this meal. Like even just having that intention, I'm really going to limit it when I go out with friends or I'm going to limit it tonight when I come home. And then just trying it out. Like I think that it's, what I love about this is you're pointing out this thing that we don't even realize that we're always on. Like that it is 24/7. We haven't even thought that there's any other way because there's this unspoken rule. If you don't get back to a text, you're disrespectful. Someone's not going to like you. There's like an urgency, and that urgency, we pay a price. And I believe that's why we are all so much more stressed and anxious, and teenagers and kids have anxiety now. I'm like, did they always have anxiety? Like, I know I've had anxiety, but really everybody all the time.
Yeah.
And it used to be like, come on, we can't blame everything on the phone, but I kind of seeing that we can. Like a lot of things I believe are problematic because of the phone. So I think that just, you know, having some rules around it and is great. And in your book, I also want to say something else here. What I love is that in your chapter, when you talk about what brings you joy, I've been thinking about that a lot lately because I don't think that we spend enough time in the joy space. We spend a lot of time in the doing space, the fear space, the worry space, the anxiety space, but what gives us, or sad, but what gives us joy? And so, and the things you talk about are like, you know, make a list of it. And I remember one time I went to a retreat a few years ago and they had us write down joy, well, all the things that we love doing. And then she had us do this formula of like, what percentage of our lives are we actually spending doing it? And mine was like 0.06%. And I was like,
oh my gosh, that is
so lame. But if I had one day, and a lot of us had those numbers, I wasn't the only one, but like you just wrote some things like, you know, cook a meal with family and friends, listen to or play music, go to a farmer's market, play baseball, play sports, paint, sing, dance. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if we just took a moment, and I still have that joy list that I wrote for this retreat, and I think about it because I'm like, have I done that stuff? So I just love that you... That you, because it just, it's like if people think, well, what am I going to do? Do the joy things, because those actually really do scientifically make you happier and that less anxious.
Yes. And I think anyone listening thinking, I'm going to try this, or I'm going to try to get my partner to try this, or I'm going to try to get my kids to try this. And I really go into detail in the book about what I think are the best approaches, because you definitely don't want to say,
tell me some of the best approaches.
You don't want to say, we're turning into things today, because that feels like you're depriving people of something. Instead, and I have all these different kind of strategies in the book, but to say, what do you wish we did more of? Let's all write a list of what we did. We wish we did more of together or on our own.
So great.
And then basically fill the day with that. It'll be your favorite day of the week. It's actually I look at it as the reward to my week. It is the reward for all the hard work I do all week. This is the reward. It's all the things that bring me joy. And sometimes that joy is doing nothing. Like when I've had a really stressful week, it's like being lounging and doing absolutely nothing. That counts. But I think writing a list of what brings you joy is so good. Or even if, try to think of what brought you joy as a child that you just don't do anymore. Like there's so many things that I'm with you about. We need to think about how often we're living where we're not in that space at all, and we're not even in touch with it.
Right.
And I, you know, on this text about it, I've had so much time becomes like luxurious. Like I picked up the ukulele, I watercolor, I twerk, I do all these things. Like, I don't know, because I have this day that's like the longest, most fabulous day, and there's nothing vying for my attention except just what I'm doing with the people in front of me. And I feel connected. I think that's the last thing I wanted to say, because I feel the most connected to myself and to Ken and to my kids on that one day. And the rest, you know, I'm a working mother, we're all, you know, a million things going on. But that one day, it just like completely reconnects me to myself and to Ken and the girls.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly it. It's connection. And so many people with kids right now, they're just battling. They're like, get off the phones, no phones here. But just to have a whole day of connection and to say, what do you wish we could do more of? And in hearing what you were just saying, it's so interesting, because if the phone is like our 24-hour entertainment center, which it is, it's always with us, it would never feel like, well, here's some time to paint, here's some time to, because there's always something to do on the phone. It's like, I can't even think of another example like that in our lives, but clearly we're not doing the things that are making us happy and joy, because it takes a little bit of effort. And that would mean that we're not glued to our phones. And if the phones are created to make us more addicted to them, well, it's obviously doing a great job. Hours go by when we're just still on the phone, or we're staring at it, or now listen to this podcast, or now listen to this thing, and then we're not doing those things. Mm-hmm. So you have to actually remove the source, but start by writing down things you wish you would do more of, so you can plan around it, which is very smart.
Yeah. Well, even like I'm reading this this book now that's not come out yet, but it's also just about the influence of screens in general, because I think I do say phones, because to me that was a big marker in the difference, because the web, before the iPhone came out, you at least left it at home and you went out and about your day and you didn't have the web with you. And the minute the iPhone came out, it was the moment that that went with you everywhere. But I think, you know, even ignoring the phone for a second, because I do a lot of my work on the screen. I mean, I'm sure you do too.
Yep.
And it's just really looking at your whole day. I mean, look at it like a nutrition plate. Like, you know how there's like, you need to eat your vegetables and your food and have a certain amount of water. And just like think of your day like that. Like how many hours are you staring on the screen? What else are you really doing? How many hours are you sleeping? I mean, supposedly the amount of hours we're staring at a screen is more than sleeping, sex, eating combined. And just think, can I carve out some time, like my time in the morning, since the election, this is one of the things I do the other 6 days, is I don't look at my phone when I wake up. And this is so huge for me, because I used to wake up and look at my phone, and it was an inevitable mix of like stressful news or an email. And I would just, that's how I'd start my day. And especially when Trump won, it was like a very stressful way to start my day.
Yeah.
So now I start it and end it by doing something called the 5-minute journal, which is like a journal, even for people that don't journal, even though I love to journal. And it just asks me three things, like what are three things you're grateful for? And what are three things that would make today great? And just spending 10 minutes thinking about my day and not letting my day, the whole tone of my day get set with my phone is so huge.
That's
and then at
huge.
The end of the day,
yeah,
it says, what are three great things that happened today? And they're asking very different than what you thought were going to be great. And then it says, what's one thing you wish you did differently? So a little bit of reflection. And I'm telling you to start and end my day with this book that takes me a total of 5 minutes to do. Has just been, it's like, who's setting the tone for your day? Are you going to let the whole world and everything you can't control see the tone for your day? Or are you going to set, and I know this word is also another cheesy word, but set an intention for the day. But it's made such a huge difference in the way I'm living my days.
I found intention.
And again,
that's,
I
love this. I want to do this. I want to get this journal because I have so many journals by my bed and then I start them.
5-minute journal.
5-minute journal. Well, you made me feel good because I have so many journals too that it stresses me out. I actually talked about this in therapy and she's like, I'm like, but I have so many journals. And then I'm like, I feel like I have to go back and read them. And then what if I don't have this journal? And she's like, it's okay. And if you never go back and if you just write a piece of paper and throw it away, that's okay too. I'm like, is it though? Is it? Don't I need all my journals? But I'm like, Tiffany has a journal addiction.
I know. The biggest thing is that, and I think this is also a way to think about it for all your listeners. It's like replace the phone with something that brings you joy. And actually writing in a journal, not everyone's a journaler, but for me, it's very centering. I just find it very calming.
Yeah.
And so I've replaced looking at the phone in the morning with this other thing. And, you know, we also have a no phones at the table rule. I mean, just little like, at the end of the book, I ask a series of questions to really identify when does it not feel good? Because that's another thing. How many screens do you have in your house? And, you know, is there someone in your family you feel like? It might not be you. It might be your partner that can never get off the screen. I should tell you that a lot of couples, since the book came out, like inevitably it'll be the husband or the wife. Oh my God, my wife will never get off the phone. And I got her the book and now she's getting off the phone or vice versa. There's always someone in the relationship that's like one notch more addicted than the other.
Right.
But because I go into so much of the why, you know, why is it not great to be on your phone this much?
Right.
The neuroscience, the physiology, the research, the history, the this and the that, it kind of walks people through why they should quit, you know, and again, knowing that thousands of engineers and behavioral scientists, their sole job is to glue you to the screen and they've won.
In talking about how there's always one partner who's like, that's great, but my spouse would never do it. That's just like the sex conversation. Well, I want to talk to my partner and tell him I want to have more sex, but they'll never do it. Or I want to ask for him to spank me, but I know he won't. It's like, no, actually, we a lot of times we say no to things that are change and that are scary and that we don't know how to do. And we think impossible. So we just say no. So I think that the fact that you this kind of your book 24/6 eases people into it with a lot of good tools, I think is really helpful. Just like sex, just have the conversation.
I love the link. I could talk. I love this like link. It's so similar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, it's about boundaries. It's about needs. It's about being in touch with your body. It's about being present.
Mm-hmm.
It's about communicating. I mean, it's the same
thing. It is the same thing. And Tiffany, if I could cut, how many studies have come out that are like, millennials aren't having sex because of the phones. People aren't having sex. People choose their phone over sex. People choose the phone over chocolate. It's like, and people, we kind of laugh it off, but I do think it is, you know, taking away from joy in our life. And that includes, you know, sex, connection, intimacy. So Tiffany, this is, you're amazing. I'm so glad you're writing this book. And
you're
speaking.
Amazing. This is so connected. I feel like we need to co-author something about the connection of these two things. They're so connected.
Let's do it. I think we could. Well, Tiffany, we ran into each other at the What conference. We hadn't seen each other in years, and it was such a delight to see you. And
what can I tell your listeners that you were star in one of my movies?
Oh my God, that's right. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about your movies. What was I played the
it was years ago, and I had just met you, and I put you in one of my movies. And actually, it's showing at a film festival next month. And whenever I see you in there, and I've thought since I've seen it, I need to reconnect with Emily. And here we are.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. Where can people? Well, we're going to have all this in the show notes, but I know you're Tiffany Schlain, S-H-L-A-N on Instagram and Twitter.
Name, yeah. TiffanySchlein.com. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And then the website for the book is 24-6, and the 6 is spelled out, SIXlife.com. And there's a lot of short films I made about the subject. There's the Facebook group. And just a lot of resources and all the research.
Yeah, we'll put all this. I love that you have the Facebook page for everybody too, because that's just good to have a community around it. So I think you're doing great work,
exactly.
And all your films and everything. Okay, so Tiffany, now I have to ask you the 5 questions we ask all of our guests. They're just quickie questions.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
Okay. What's your biggest turn on?
Oh my goodness. I think a good connection before.
Yeah.
Foreplay.
Perfect.
That we feel connected. Yeah. That's my biggest turn on before it happens.
It doesn't have to be anything too crazy. Yeah. Biggest turn off.
When is it all related to? I was going to say when somebody says they want to pick my brain. I hate that expression.
No, that's fine. That is a turn off. I know you're like, ew. What makes good sex?
Ew. Don't do that.
What makes good sex?
What makes good sex is if you, you truly are connected and that's interesting. I mean, I've been married for so long. I was going to say it's like an authentic connection.
Yeah, that's true though.
But I think it is. It's for me. I mean, again, I've been married for a long time now, but it's just that, like, I know when we're really feeling connected, it's just so much better.
Yeah. Something I'm sure you are now more so with Tech Shabbat. Something you tell your younger self about sex and relationships, sex or relationships. Like when I met you.
That the more the more you feel comfortable with your body. I mean, I think for so long, I wish I was thinner. I wish I was taller, whatever it is. And then once you really like start respecting your body and everything it's helped you do and love your body, you're going to, you know, your partner will too. I mean, just being more comfortable with yourself. That's what I love about getting older.
Yeah.
I just find a lot more things funny and I don't take myself as seriously and everything, you know, laughter. I mean, that's foreplay. I should have said that.
Exactly. That's great. It's true. So true. Okay. Number one sex tip.
Number
one relationship. It could be a relationship tip.
Okay. I got a good one. Make sure that you, I mean, every Saturday night, Ken and I have a date night. And even with young kids, we figured it out. So we always went out, just the two of us. And it's, I see so many people do not make that a priority. And it's just, I think of, you know, it's like a pyramid, like happy person, happy couple, happy children. And you have to make time for yourselves and a good sex life and having a relationship that's outside of being parents.
Yeah, no, I think that's so true. I always tell couples, you have never had a date night. Like with young kids, it's so important to prioritize it. Thank you, Tiffany.
Important.
Yeah, thank you so much for this. I appreciate you so much. I'm so happy to connect. Congrats on the book. And
great to talk to you.
Thank you,
Tiffany. Have a great day.
Okay, talk to you soon. I appreciate all of you for listening. And thanks to my awesome team, Ken, Kristen, Elisa, Brian, our interns, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.